morning, Life Point Church. Hope everybody is well and enjoying their Sunday so far. First off, want to kick off with a huge shout out to our leadership team, as we've worked a lot for, it's been about a year and a half in the making to get some new signs out front and out back. So they look great, and I just want to say a huge thank you to our team for the work that they put in on that, and looking at different versions and going back and forth with that. We have a phenomenal leadership team that works behind the scenes that does a lot, and they work really hard. I'm going to grab these real quick if y'all don't mind before I get attacked by sheet music. Awesome. Good luck on the final song, Jared. We have a great team. They work really hard, and they do a lot to make Life Point Church happen. So I just want to say publicly, I appreciate you all and the team. They're phenomenal. So give it up for them real quick if you all don't mind. All right. So today we are in week four of our current message series called Freedom, where we're studying the book of Galatians. So what we're doing is we're working chapter by chapter through the book of Galatians. And obviously, if we're in week four, that means we're in chapter four. And I personally believe that this book of the Bible, Galatians, very short book, six chapters, man, it's so critical and important for us today, because we live in a culture, in a society right now where everything, there's just a lot of things within the church or within religious movements that are focused in on the do's and the don'ts, right? On rules, on religion. And rules are not bad. They're great. They give us boundaries and they give us some things to shoot for. But when we take our faith, right, and we put rules and religion over our relationship with Christ, we become, we get into some very, very sketchy territory and some dangerous territory. And I think one of the things that we're seeing today is that the church is, as a whole, is putting more of an emphasis on those things and less of an emphasis at time as on our faith, right? On love, on grace, on mercy, and on the true gospel message. And as we read in the book of Galatians, the true gospel message doesn't bring bondage or slavery or anything other than freedom. It brings true freedom, and that freedom only comes through Christ, through a relationship with Him. And when we connect with Him and we connect in that understanding of grace and freedom, it brings about peace. It brings about hope. It brings about healing, mercy, love, salvation, freedom. And we all need that. We desperately need to be free in Christ, to not be held down, but be free, to be free who God created us to be, to do the things that God created us to do, and to be on mission. And again, nothing is wrong with works. Nothing's wrong with being disciplined. But we have to focus more than anything on our relationship with Christ. And this struggle with religion and works-based mentality is nothing new. We see it all the way back into the book of Galatians. This is why Paul wrote the book. He wrote the book because after he went to Galatia and presented the true gospel message to them of Jesus, of Christ plus nothing, the false teachers, you know, strolled into town after him. They were kind of following him around, and then they hit him up with, hey, what he said was good, but you also have to follow all the Jewish customs, the Jewish laws, the holidays, all the festivals. You have to do these things too. Like, it's equally as important. And it got the Galatians off track. And so, real quick recap of what we've covered so far. In chapter one, we talked about how the law was from humans, but that grace is from God, right? The law helps us to feel good about ourselves when we do things right. It builds us up. Whereas grace is all about lifting God up, lifting up Christ and what He did for us. The fact that we are unworthy of His mercy and His grace and His salvation, yet He gives it to us. That's what it's about. Chapter 2, we talked about how we need to live by grace and faith, not just receive it for salvation and to be connected with Jesus, but we have to live it out every day. And then in order to do that, we need to live out our unique calling that God has placed on our life. We need to protect and preserve the true gospel message, and that we need to live for God and not the law. We have to keep our eyes fixed on God. And when we do that, everything else falls into play as it relates to the law, because and the rules and all those things that we need to be doing, because it's God that's working in and through us. But if we're not keeping our eyes fixed on Him and we try to go after the law, we're going to fall every time. Last week, Daniel did a great job of presenting chapter 3, and what he focused on was that when we have our faith in God and we truly, again, fixate on Him, that brings security in our relationship with Him. It gives us peace. It gives us comfort. It gives us joy. We know that all things will work out for the good when we have our eyes fixed on Him. And so each week of this series, we've been focusing on our main key thought. And our key thought has been this. It's that we are saved by grace through faith, but must live by grace and faith. That it's not about our works. It's about living by grace through faith. We receive our salvation by grace through faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. But from that point on, we still need to live and continue to receive that grace through faith. But just like the Galatians, we are so easily sidelined. We can so easily get tripped back up into going into our old ways, our old ways of living, where we feel like, you know what, in order for God to love me, in order for God to accept me, I have to do this, 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 and this. And I have to work as hard as I can to do this and that. And then we get so fixated on our works and trying to earn God's love and favor, we forget the fact that He already loves us. He accepts us through His Son, Jesus. Not because of us, but because of Jesus. But when we're connected to Him, we don't have to worry about that. We just keep our eyes fixed on Him and we're good. There's nothing that you can do today to make God love you any more than He already does. And that is a freeing truth. Because grace is powerful, and we have to embrace it and receive it. And so as we move into chapter 4, we see that Paul continues to drive this point home. It's urgent. It is a urgent message that he is delivering to the people of Galatia and to us. That it's about grace through faith in Jesus, and that's it. It's about Him and Him alone. He was serious about this. In fact, in verse 20, he actually says this. I think it's interesting. He kind of interrupts the whole letter and says, I wish I were with you. I wish I were with you now so that I could change my tone. But at this distance, I don't know how else to help you. He's like, yo, I know this is harsh. I know that what I'm very direct in this letter, and I'm coming at you and saying, you know, hey, foolish Galatians, get it together. But he's like, so I wish I was there with you so I could kind of love on you and you could see my heart more, but I can't be there. So this is what you get, because it's this urgent. How many of you have ever written an email that you didn't mean to be so harsh or you know, rough, and someone read it that way? Right. How many of y'all received one of those emails and you're like, oh snap, they used all caps? And they're like, oh my bad, and, you know, just caps locks was on, right? That's what he's saying. He's like, you know, I know this reads rough, but it's that important. And because I can't be with you, I've got to keep this tone. Because you need to know how important it is for you to push away those false teachers, to not receive what they're saying, and to remember what I instructed you with the true gospel message that came directly from God, that it's about grace through faith, that it's Jesus plus nothing. It was that important. And so in chapter 4, Paul is continuing to help them to understand this, and he uses some examples which I love, because for me, that real life examples or examples from the past or whatever can really help to drive things home for me. And that's what he's doing for the Galatians. He starts this chapter off with an example, and he concludes it with an example to help them to understand that they are truly free in Christ, that they are no longer slaves. He gives these examples on to help them to identify how God views them. I think that's one of the toughest things that we have to wrestle with as humans on this journey in our relationship with God, right? We'll accept that he saves us, but a lot of times we don't accept the fact that he loves us. A lot of times it's because we don't love ourselves. We don't know how to love. We don't know what real love is. So when someone's saying, hey, I love you, regardless, I accept you just because, that's hard for us to grasp. It's hard for us to understand at times, because a lot of times we don't understand love. So he's driving this home. He said, hey, you are not slaves. You are free. In fact, you are sons and daughters of the Most High. You are his children. And therefore, if you are his children, you are his rightful heirs. You're heirs to the throne of God, to the kingdom. He's your father. It's that personal. It's that intimate. And it's that beautiful. And he's trying to get them to understand that. See, you don't have to continue to focus on all these works. Just receive his grace. And it's the same for us. We have to receive his grace. So let's go ahead and jump into chapter 4 a little more. And we're going to pick up in verse 8. And Paul writes this. He's telling them, he gives them some examples. He lets them know that man, you are sons and daughters of Christ. You are his children. He goes on to say this in verse 8. Before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to so-called gods that didn't even exist. So now that you know God, or should I say, now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again to become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world? You are free. Why would you want to go back? Why would you want to go back to those man-made false gods? Why would you want to go back to that man-made religion? Why would you want to go back to these feelings of shame and blame and being less than and the guilt that comes from anything other than freedom in Christ? You've experienced it. Why in the world would you want to go back? He continues, verse 10, why are you trying to earn favor with God by observing certain days or months or seasons or years? He says, I fear for you. Perhaps all my hard work with you was for nothing. And check this out. He says, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to live as I do in freedom from these things. For I have become like you Gentiles, free from those laws. He's trying to get them to see and to understand that you were once in bondage to all kinds of different things, to the law, to religion, to these false gods or these spiritual practices or holidays or whatever it is. You were constantly going through the motions, trying and trying and trying to make yourself right before God or some false gods. And he said, but now you know the truth. That you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus alone. So why in the world are you trying to go back? Why would you want to go back to being a slave? That doesn't make any sense. You're free. He's pleading with them. He's helping them to understand this. But as we've already discussed, the Galatians, you know, those who had began to follow Jesus, right, who accepted him and received his grace through faith, and their lives were radically changed. For those people, those false teachers came in afterwards, right? Like as we've talked about several times, and they tripped them up. They started teaching them to go back to their old ways, and they did. They started reverting. They said, okay, there's Jesus here, but then there's all of these other things that we have to do as well. And so they started to blur those lines, and they reverted back to those old ways, those old spiritual practices, and to those old false gods. And we sitting back can be like, well, why would they do that? That seems so stupid. That doesn't make any sense. But we do the same thing. Whatever it is that has that had you enslaved before you met Jesus, or maybe even after you had that encounter with Jesus and you started to revert back because someone was teaching you something crazy, we fall back into that as well. We get tripped up into that from time and time again, and we get led astray. And the reason that the Galatians did that's the same reason that we do. It's because sometimes we struggle to accept that something so incredible, something so beautiful as receiving and stepping into a relationship with Jesus can be that simple. We struggle to believe that in order to be connected with God, we struggle with the fact that there's nothing that we can do to earn it. It can only be received. We struggle with that because we feel like we have to do something, that we need to do something, that we have to earn it. So anytime someone presents something to us, even after knowing the truth, but they present an opportunity for us to try to earn it, our ears perk up and we run to that. We embrace that because, and it's out of good intentions, honestly, because we want to do right by God. We want to earn what it is that he's given us. But all that does is sideline us. All that does is shift our focus off God and off Jesus and what has been done for us and how we can live free to back to bondage, back to these man-made laws and rules, and it holds us captive. And then we can't be who all that God created us to be and do all the things that he created us to do because we're trapped. You see, one of the problems that the Galatians faced is one that we still face today, and that's that while many people believe and are taught salvation by grace through faith in Jesus, these lines get blurred because then we also are taught wrongly to it, that acceptance and love comes through works. We can sit there and say, okay, yes, it's by grace we've been saved. But this line gets really blurry because then it's acceptance and love through our works. They're separated for some reason with us a lot of the times. And a lot of people teach this. Salvation through grace and faith. But hey, for God to accept you, for God to love you, you better do this and this and this, and you better not do this and this and that. Then we have this really skewed view of God and what he's done for us and who he really is. And this is really, really important to me, this because I experienced this over and over in my life growing up. In the religious movement, in the churches that I grew up in, this line was incredibly blurred. They taught the true gospel message of grace through faith. Confess and believe. Jesus died for you so that you could be made whole again. It was solid. But then there was this other side. That was, once you did this, you better work your butt off to earn God's love, to earn God's favor. Don't question God. Don't even have a relationship with him. You just have to do these things. I remember I was sitting at we had chapel every week at the school I grew up in, the Christian school I grew up in, and there was a traveling evangelist that came through, and he challenged all the kids. I was probably in fifth grade to read the Bible and pray for 20 minutes a day for a month or 3 months or something like that. Not a bad challenge, but then he tacked something onto it. And if you raise your hand, you're making a covenant with God, and if you break that covenant, he's going to punish you. You don't break covenants with God. So here I am, like a fifth grader, wanting to do the right thing, wanting to serve God, wanting to grow in my faith, and I raise my hand, and then for the next 30 days or 3 months or however long, I don't even remember how long it was, I was petrified to miss one day. I was petrified. I was terrified to not hit my minute mark because I didn't want to break a covenant with God. I came to believe through multiple things like that, that my standing with God and how he viewed me was all about what I did. And it was some of the worst times of my life. I was blessed. I had a great family. I had all the opportunity in the world. But honestly, inside, I had the most unhealthy fear of God imaginable. And it was simply because of this. It's because I was taught, yes, salvation by grace through faith, but I was also taught that acceptance and love with God came by what I did and didn't do. And it wrecked me. So much so that I worried about everything. So much so that there's cause and effect directly from God about everything. If I listened to the wrong music, I thought God was going to punish me or punish my family to punish me. That's messed up. I had a lot of injuries from football my junior and senior year. Many of you all know that. My junior year, I blew my knee out completely. Had to have reconstructive knee surgery and all that jazz. And for the longest time, I thought the reason I did that was because I listened to music on the bus on the way to that game that had profanity in it. And I thought that that's how God punished me. That's so toxic. It's so unhealthy. Now, understand that there are consequences for our actions. There are consequences for the things that you do and that you don't do. But God doesn't love you any more or any less than he does right now. But he loves you. Through Jesus, he accepts you. And this is why the Galatians got off track. Because some false teachers rolled into town and was hitting them with that. You see, focusing in on acceptance and love through works leads to worry, doubt, fear of disappointing God, fear of being less than because we're constantly told that we are. Because guess what? We're never going to measure up. We're never going to reach that mark because we're flawed people. That's why grace is so important, and that's why it's so beautiful, and that's why what Jesus did in coming and dying and stepping into our place and making a way for us to be made right with God is so incredible. Not to be abused by going and living the way we want to live. But the grace is so beautiful because we can just receive it. And then when God looks at us, he sees his son. And we're loved. And we're accepted. And that should make us want more than anything to honor him and serve him and love him and give him our whole lives and do our very best to honor and glorify him. But when we screw up, not if, when we screw up, he doesn't love us any more or less. He doesn't accept us any more or any less. Yes, he wants us to stay on the right track. Yes, he wants us to do certain things and not do certain things. That's facts. If you do certain things, there's going to be consequences for those things. It's just life. But he loves you. He accepts you through Jesus. We always have to remember that. The Galatians were facing this same thing. That's what Paul wrote this letter. And to this very fact, he had something to say about it. And I'm going to read this. We're going to read Galatians 4, 16 and 17. We're going to read it in the Message. The Message is a paraphrase translation. I just really love the way this reads. So I'm going to read it from the Message, and it says this. It says, "And now have I suddenly become your enemy simply by telling you the truth? I can't believe it. Those heretical teachers go to great lengths to flatter you, but their motives are rotten. They want to shut you out of the free world of God's grace so that you will always depend on them for approval and direction, making them feel important. When I look back and my experiences in this type of movement, that's exactly what I see. I see people that were eager to flatter me, eager to win me over, right? Wanted me to follow their ways. Honestly, pushed me away from grace and into acceptance and love through my works. And honestly, when I step back and look at it, it was kind of a power and control tactic. When I talk to people that don't want anything to do with God or the church, that's one of the reasons that they don't want anything to do with it. Because many people have abused the word of God. They've taken it and perverted it to meet their own agenda. We can't be about that. We've got to be on guard. We've got to watch out for that. See, I think about those people in my life that said that they cared about me, that they wanted what was best for me. And so I needed to do this, this, and this, and this. And if I didn't, God was going to strike me down. And then whenever I struggled, they were nowhere to be found. Cast me to the side. Not just me. I saw it over and over with people. I saw teenagers that were in crisis, who needed help, who had made bad decisions and got themselves into these predicaments. And what happened? Kicked to the side. You screwed up. Goodbye. We can't associate with you. We can't have that a part of us. When what Scripture says is, hey, God loves you, regardless of what you've done. And as the family of God, we have to support each other. We have to help each other. We have to lift each other up. And that there's grace, there's mercy, there's forgiveness, there's hope. Not condemnation, shame, guilt, blame. It's ridiculous. We've got to rise above that. And that's what Paul is saying. He said, man, we've got to shake this off. But if you've experienced that, it's hard to shake off. I'm 36 years old, and I've been out of that kind of environment and that religious movement for a long time. But it still has a little grip on my heart. There's still times where I start to think, you know, man, this is probably because I did this. Or, man, I don't feel like God loves me because I did that. Or because I didn't do this. I start to revert back to being about Jesus plus this, this, and this, and this, as opposed to Jesus plus nothing. We've got to be on guard for these false teachers. That's why in chapter 2, we talked about that we have to protect the gospel message, the true gospel message. That's part of one of the things that we have to do as Christ followers. We have to receive it. We have to live by grace and faith, but we have to protect it. We have to watch out for ourselves and for our fellow brothers and sisters. But in order to watch out for it, to avoid it, to reject it, we've got to be able to identify it. And so while I was thinking through this and kind of praying through this week, something popped into my mind that I kind of jotted down while I was out and about. And how we can help, or how we can identify these type of toxic movements or this false gospel message. Just very simply put. And so that's what I want to share as we close. I want to leave you with these final thoughts. And that's this works-based mentality versus a grace-based mentality. And what we see is that a works-based mentality or religious system or whatever it may be, man, any deviation from perfection within that system leads to punishment, leads to guilt, shame, blame. All these feelings of negativity and not being worthy, not being good enough, ultimately in that work-based system, it leads to rejection. You feel rejected. Technically, you are rejected. Many times, physically, you're rejected out of the church or out of the school or out of whatever it may be, that circle of friends or that groups, because of a mistake or because of a struggle. It's a works-based system, and that is a false gospel message. Hear me clearly today. That is a false gospel message. But within a grace system, man, there's acceptance. In a grace-based system that is focused on the true gospel message, any deviation from perfection has already been forgiven. Any struggle is forgiven. Any screw-up, that punishment was already already played out for you. It was covered. It was atoned for through Jesus. Again, this has nothing to do with you and what you've done or could do, good or bad. It has to do with the fact that Jesus died and rose again for you, so that you could be made whole again, so that you could be forgiven, so that your current, your past, and your future sins, failures, screw-ups would all be forgiven. In a grace-centered gospel system, there's acceptance, there's love, there's forgiveness, there's mercy, there's community. There's that feeling that when I'm struggling, I am free to share that with the people around me, because they're not going to cast me out or judge me, but they're going to lift me up. They're going to encourage me. Yeah, they may tell me what I need to hear, and I may not want to hear it, but they love me, and they're going to accept me, and they're going to help me. And through that same struggle, we can look to a good God that loves us and accepts us and know that, yes, he may want better for us, but that doesn't mean he doesn't love us. That doesn't mean that he's casting us away. It means he's drawing us in and saying, hey, let's not do that. And I don't want you to do that because I love you. Or do this because I want to be connected more with you. Not to check it off a list, but to connect with God, to keep your eyes fixated on him. The true gospel message, in that we understand that through Jesus, there's salvation, right? Through Jesus, there is acceptance, there's forgiveness, there's hope. Through Jesus, we're loved. And through Jesus, there's freedom. We no longer are slaves. You don't have to be held back and held confined to anything from your past, anything that someone else presents. It, no matter how far we fall from you or how far we try to run away from you, that we can never go too far from your love. We can't outrun it. We can't escape it. God, and I know I'm so personally so thankful for that. God, I'm so thankful that it's not about what we do or don't do, God, but it's about what you did through your son. Father, thank you. God, may each of us truly embrace your truth, the true gospel message, that we can be saved by grace through faith in you. That once we do that, God, we can continue to live by grace and faith. Not by works, but in and through your grace and love and mercy. As we continue in a spirit of prayer, maybe you're here this morning and you've honestly never stepped over that line of faith. You've never come into a true relationship with God. Maybe for you, you were just kind of under the assumption that if you just did good things, lived a good life, was a good person, didn't wrong anybody, that you'd be good. Or maybe you feel like you've done so much in your life, so much wrong, you've screwed up so much that God could never love you. I want to tell you this morning that neither of those are true. You can't be good enough. And equally, you can't be bad enough. The only thing is just to receive the grace of God, the gift of salvation. As I've said several times, that the fact that God sent his son Jesus to step into our story, become human, become man, go through the struggles that we go through, walk the roads that we walk, and then die a brutal death to take our place, what we deserve. But he stepped into our place, took that punishment for our failures, past, present, and future, and he made a way for us to be whole again, made a way for us to be right before the Father. He extended grace. And if you're here this morning, you've never received him. Scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you'll be saved. So this morning, if that's you and you're ready to step over that line of faith, you're ready to commit your life to him and begin to just to slowly walk that journey and just call out to him however he leads. Confess that you have flaws, that you're not perfect, and that you're in need of a Savior, and that he is the one and only Savior. Believe that in your heart. Connect with him. He's there. He's waiting. He's ready. He wants nothing more than to be in relationship with you. So if that's you, just call out to him today. But maybe you're here this morning, you are a Christ follower. But man, you struggle with that works-based acceptance and love that I talked about. You've been sidetracked by false teachers or just your own struggle of trying to earn your way to God. Man, just receive his grace. Live by his grace. Keep your eyes fixed and focused on him and commit your life to that, to growing in your relationship with him and seeking him, and I promise you the rest will fall into play. Just fix your eyes on him and receive his grace. Live from that grace. I promise you it'll be a game changer. If you want acceptance, if you want love, just receive it. Because he is extending it to you right now. God, again, we thank you for your truth. I pray for each person, God, that's in here. Lord, I pray that you would speak to them. I pray that you would comfort them. God, whatever it is that they need to hear from you this morning, God, may they receive it. God, set people free. May we as a church no longer be held captive by anything, but be free to run into the mission that you've laid before us, individually and as a church, God. Heal hearts, God. Heal wounds that we may have. Heal those things in our lives, God, that try to pull us back to our old ways, our old beliefs, our old thoughts, God, and just help us to receive your freedom, your grace, and your mercy, to feel your love like never before. God, we thank you for what you're doing in our church and what you're going to continue to do. It's your name we pray.